Oh, I got his ass now.
You have to be fast on the track.
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tori Nighthawk! Whoa!
Tulsa preview, we're back in that beautiful... Are you signaling me?
No, we're good. I almost had you muted, though.
We're back in the beautiful city of Tulsa this week. Next stop of the Pro Tour, next big national. It's also Chilliwack this weekend, Canadian season opener. It's a big week, Paul.
Huge week. I didn't realize, but we are kind of back into the swing of things of the races. It's almost like we had that early stretch at the beginning. We had a little break, it felt like, with us taking a break last week, kind of just, you know, having a little hangout show, talking, shooting the shit. Now we're back into race mode with U.S. and Canada. It's cool.
Yeah, big week in the BMX world. I'll be in Chilliwack this weekend for the season opener, BMX Canada season opener. So if you're there, come by and say hi. Be there coaching my riders and hanging out. Palm Daddy might make an appearance this weekend as well, so we'll have to see.
Might swing by. You never know. We're not going to be in Tulsa, so I might be swinging by the old Big Red Barn, as we call it.
An iconic symbol in Canada.
It's just you drive by there as kids now, even as adults now, and you're just like, yep, that's where we race.
I've driven past it so many times now since we first raced there as kids. I just think of it every time.
Did you ever have any urge later in your career to go back there and race?
No.
As a kid, that's the place you wanted to be. As soon as you got older, it's not the place you wanted to be.
I think I won the Canadian Pro title, BMX Canada Pro title in like 2010.
Probably.
And I don't remember doing a race after that.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
I was like 18. I think that was my last one.
Yeah. When you were 18. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. 18. Yeah.
I think I raced in 2013, did that, won the title that time, and then haven't raced it since either.
Yeah. I don't think I raced it since.
People did their turns. Funny. Everyone took their turns.
Honestly, good series though. And there's some good nationals, the BMX Canada schedule this year. And I think it's the first year, you know, it's kind of funny. There's a race in, I just don't know the state up. Yeah, there's a race in the U.S. that counts as BMX Canada.
Isn't it Buffalo or Detroit or something?
Something like that, yeah.
But yeah, across the border in the U.S. It's not those two places, probably. I'm just making names up here.
Yeah, let me look. It's like, I want to say like Vermont, maybe? Does that sound left field? Let's see. Oh, I got it here. New England. Sandwich, Massachusetts. Okay. Cape Cod. Oh, it's Cape Cod BMX. I've heard of Cape Cod.
Yeah, okay. And that's in the U.S., right? But it's part of the
Sandwich, Massachusetts. What a name. MA's Massachusetts. Yeah. Cause MD is Maryland. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Massachusetts. Yeah. So in the Northeast.
That's just awesome that it's in the US, Northeast US, yeah. But it's a Canadian series race.
It's kind of funny, huh? I don't think it's happened before.
Yeah. I mean, I can't possibly. That's not normal.
I think this might be the biggest BMX Canada National Series. Seven national weekends plus the grands. Pretty good.
Wait, so seven stops plus the grands, so eight stops total?
Yeah, correct.
Eight stops. Wow, that is pretty big, I think, yeah.
And they're all three-day bangers, minus the grands, of course.
I know things started to grow when they brought in the East Coast Series, like part of it. Like there was an East Coast races, but like that's got to be one of the biggest for sure.
For a long time, I feel like the East Coast of Canada or the Eastern side didn't have many races. I mean, you get national champs every second year, basically.
Yeah.
More or less. But other than that, they don't have a whole lot besides a couple Canada Cups, really, and provincials.
I think the Quebec series is decent in Quebec, but you're right. Other than that,
yeah,
they got nothing. So, you know what I like to, I think BMX is starting to boom in Canada, T. Just run.
You know
the
what? I want to see the Canadian Championships because National Championships is the biggest race in Canada we got every year.
Yep.
And it's a great event. It really is. Personally, one of my favorite events. I raced every single year. I just loved it. It was always special to me. And I really loved racing in Canada, especially a race like that. I want to see it rotated more places. Now, I know there's obviously more things that need to happen for that to be a reality. And there's probably a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but it's just like Calgary or Drummondville, Quebec every year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, kind of, when it comes to the West Coast, it has been Calgary a lot. Mm-hmm. East Coast, it was Toronto the 1 year. And I think it was supposed to go back to back the COVID year, but it didn't. You're right though. Drummondville is always the Quebec one now.
It's just always those two places. Don't get me wrong. I liked racing there and I enjoyed racing Calgary and Drummondville, but I mean, it's cool to have a different place every year, I think.
I agree. Oh, 100%. I agree too. It's kind of tough with the tracks we have for options. What tracks on the East Coast would you go for? Like, I don't know enough tracks to say like, let's go to this place. I know Toronto and Drummondville, and then I know Quebec tracks, but the Quebec ones I know are all tiny, small, awkward. Can you think of other ones that we could go in the East Coast?
Honestly, Milton could easily hold the national championships. Pretty long, big track. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, that track is, I think, could definitely host it.
And Milton's the one with the Pro Set second straight. It's kind of got the weird start hill to first straight.
No, it's not a weird start hill.
Isn't it the one? It's not a weird start hill, but it's like it goes down and then you kind of come up to a flat part. Like you kind of come up and then you keep racing along the straight. Like,
no.
What am I thinking of then?
I don't know what you're thinking of, but that does sound funky. I think you might be thinking Kingston. I haven't been to Kingston in a long time, so I don't know if it is, but say Milton's pretty good. Like it has long straightaways, pretty wide, got a pro section. That could be a legit national champs track.
Okay. Well, there's an option.
I'd say on the West Coast, I'd say if you opened it, I don't know how this would work, but if you opened it to like BMX Canada tracks, you could have quite a few options. Like Victoria would be a really good national champs track.
Right. That would be huge. That would be a
honestly, that would be a like ideal place to have it.
Good point. That facility and the facility itself, like the park it's in, everything. You got the everything, the structure for it. Yep. Okay.
Nanaimo could easily have it also.
Yeah, it could. I'm trying to think of comparison to the other track. Would I compare it at level? Like, would it be national champs level track?
I mean, Drummondville, I'd say smaller than that.
You think so? Hey, but I think the first straight at Drummondville is way better.
Like lengthwise, the first straight, but you don't need a super long straight. I mean, it's good to have a long first straight, but you don't need that.
Right.
You could also do, I just lost my train. Oh, Surrey. You just have to redo the corners probably, but Surrey would be fine also.
Yeah, I agree. You'd have to obviously touch the second straight up because that thing hasn't been, the pro set hasn't been touched in how long, but that's what
St. Albert
as well. Yeah. St. Albert, we've done. Yeah. We used to have it there once. Right. And I think they could go back there again, especially now that they're getting that supercross track. So I bet you in the future, St. Albert gets one.
Exciting that we're getting another supercross track in Western Canada. The people of Alberta need one badly. I mean, it's a long commute, obviously, for them to ride Abbotsford, and there's kind of nothing in Alberta for them to practice and develop. So I'm happy for them. The only concern is it's always windy. Like we're talking super windy, which is going to be a problem. But you know, I'm sure it'll still get put to good use.
So as long as they just go the classic early mornings, late nights, they're going to have some great sessions.
you need walls.
But it's good that they have. I don't know how much we've talked about the track and whatnot, how long it's taken for them to get it, but they've obviously been wanting one for a while, and it's cool that they finally are, you know, getting one. It's kind of the norm around the world now, like in cities, states, they're just popping up.
You want to talk about an ideal place for a World Cup? Toronto Pan Am track, and obviously the track would have to be revamped and like worked on, but if you look at location, I mean, it's in a huge park, lots of parking, room for vendors, everything, lots of room for stands because it's built for Pan Am Games, obviously. So you have a lot of like area to do it. The airport is like 5 minutes away, and right across the street there's a bunch of nice hotels. Like you wouldn't even need to rent a car almost.
No, honestly, you really probably wouldn't. Like as long as you just get your stuff to the track, it's not far.
No,
just take Ubers, yeah.
It won't happen, but it'd be, you know, it'd be cool if it did.
Yeah, it would be really cool. I will say, for how nice the park, the facility, everything is, trying to find a place to cool down and you have to just go on the road, that's a little awkward.
Yeah, but
it is what it is.
Yeah, there's other places you got to do that too.
Yeah. I think now that Abbotsford's changed, I think that track could be considered a national champs, even World Cup applicable track again now.
Yeah, it looks much better. First straight, first corner, more room. I gotta say, it was pretty sketchy before to have like even three fast guys going to the first corner. Yeah. So it's much better now. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like the fact that there's the World Cup there is nuts, because the years we trained there, how many years?
Wild.
We, dude, thought going like three to five people was absolutely absurd. And that was with three to five people that were extremely comfortable with the track. And like, yeah, it's like you go guys that don't know the track as well as we did, like the back of our hand, and you try to race it. The corners are tight. Everything's just, yeah, it gets a little sketch.
Same thing as Manchester. You look at that first straight and track. It's like, how the hell did people write a World Cup there?
It's crazy. And they're probably, how much you want to bet there's another one there in the next, I don't know, five,
sure, at
years?
at some point, I'm sure there is. Speaking of which, I was on Facebook today, and I saw, I guess I'm in a group like Auckland BMX Worlds 2013. I guess I would have joined it, whatever, 10 years ago.
Nice.
I saw they changed the name to Auckland BMX World Cups.
Oh.
So do they know? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking there's some plans in the works here.
I think that's a hint.
Yeah. So that was, you know, not subtle. Maybe they're trying. Maybe they kind of low-key are getting one. That would be sick.
If I was a detective and I had to pinpoint why they would do that, I'd have to assume there's a World Cup coming there next year.
One would assume they wouldn't do it for fun, right?
No, because that's just why would you make your name that if you're not going to have an actual World Cup?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Super interesting. So I hope I hope they do, because that'd be a cool spot.
I will say, if they have a World Cup there, you know what they're going to have, T?
ProGate Europe, the presenting sponsor of Coffee Chatter. We're almost 200 shows in, and ProGate Europe is still our presenting sponsor of the show. I want to say since like show five, maybe. So crazy. Jan Skipper's just had his birthday recently. He has never looked younger and sexier in his fucking life, that guy. He's the man.
He is aging like a fine wine right now.
He is just a fine wine. I love that guy. ProGate Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. Get yours today.
Absolutely. Go get one. Wish him a happy birthday, even if it's now and it's a couple days late. I mean, you can't tell me, T, that if you get a birthday wish or have had someone send you a late birthday wish, that you're like, oh, I don't want that. It's like, no, you'll still take it a couple days late, right?
No, you still take it. Absolutely. It's better than not getting one.
So go send him a birthday wish. Tell him Coffee Chatter sent you to do that. And maybe he'll hook you up with a free gate, because he's just that nice of a guy.
He may. He just may.
You never know.
So by my calculations, next week will be show 199. And 199 plus one is 200. So in 2 weeks is going to be show 200. And we were discussing our idea before this show, and I think you guys are going to love it. It's something new that we haven't done in the past.
It's building off what we've done, but it has not been done yet. That's like the hint I think we can say.
So you said similar to show 100, but different.
But different. It's like same, just like a little different. I think it's going to be a great idea.
And we're going to get a slightly different outlook, I think, which is going to be probably cool for us and cool for everyone listening.
Yep.
So stay tuned. We'll probably announce it. I don't know. We'll announce it before the show 200.
You think we announce it, or is it this kind of one you just pop off?
Well, obviously, you mean announce it like before, like the usual Monday drop of the show?
Like, do we just drop it when we want to? When we don't even tell people what the plan is. Like, is it a show that, is there ever a scenario where we just drop the show?
I think we, like, you know, we don't tell people the beforehand what it is.
We wouldn't obviously get any questions from the grandstands. That's the only problem. But, you know,
I think we got to drop it beforehand, because we also want to do it live.
It's true, too. Actually, I'd like to. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, ideally, we do it live. We'll see. We'll see if that's possible. It's going to be tougher, but
we'll figure it out.
Yeah. We could also ask, we could also present the idea and get people to put who they want on the show for it.
That's tricky. I don't know.
well, only we would know.
I guess true. That, yeah. Okay.
That's a good Although point. People are going to be fucking unrealistic with maybe what they're doing.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Can you just talk for like 1 minute while I pull my potatoes out of the oven?
What kind of potatoes are you making?
I think they're little red ones. I cut them up or roasted them. I can hear the oven going off.
All right. You know, sir, you go. Yeah, you go get it. So Palm Daddy's taking his potatoes out of the oven. I'm going to log on to the YouTube chat and see what kind of questions we got in the chat. Let's see, live. Here we go.
I'm back.
Oh, we had a question from Thunder Midget. What about the new Black Mountain? Almost 1,300 feet, five turns and big jumps.
Oh.
It honestly looks pretty good. Like Bubba and Lee and those dudes have done great work, I think.
Dude, I love the look of that long first straight. It seems like it's got a little flare back into it, a couple 90-90 high speed. Interesting looking third straight, I'll say too. I'll call the pro section the second straight. Third straight look interesting coming out of that turn with a little dropout, like a little that is some Lee Lewis type stuff right there, where you come out of the turn, it looks like a pump track drop, like just a flowy drop into the third straight. Pretty cool.
Thunder Magic on your palmy potato. Love it. Chris Wilkinson, isn't there World Cups in Australia next year? So many New Zealand can piggyback. That would make sense to go to Oz and New Zealand. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a couple of people tried to tell us that was the plan. Like that was rumor. We haven't heard anything, but I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
People are saying Kai and Bethany. We haven't had Kai on. We had Kai and Trey on, obviously, like when, honestly, the first few weeks of Coffee Chatter, they were, I want to say like show 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to talk to Kai. We reached out to Bethany after the O show a few times, but she didn't get back to us about coming on. So I don't know. We'll still probably want her to have on at some point, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I think absolutely at one point once she gets some time.
Yeah.
Kai, who was it? I think it was Alicia English. She said, Kai, he's done a phenomenal job at marketing himself. Like he
outside
sponsors now that are big time, and he just keeps every now and again he like another one popped up, I think the other day. Talk about a guy who's taken his what he's done at the Olympics and just ran with it.
And that's fucking awesome. Like just cash in and capitalize as much as you can, make as much money as you can from it, build your brand and then set yourself up.
Straight up.
I think he's killing it.
Yeah.
Yep. He's killing it. See Mariana's news that she dropped today? Not news, but the hint about what she's going to drop?
So I'm seeing the hint because I have been off social media all day long, been busy. I'm just seeing it now, and it says her caption is, in a few months' time, ... tomorrow we'll tell you details of a very beautiful news that has us very excited.
It's going to be one of those things, you know, it's frustrating because we're saying this now. The live people are wondering with us, but then when their show drops tomorrow, she's going to have announced it already.
That's so true. All right,
it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating.
We absolutely have to take guesses, though. I don't care how stupid we sound. We're taking guesses.
Do we think she's announcing that Vinny's retired again?
Probably.
Can you imagine? That would be unfucking awesome. Unfucking believably awesome.
Statement from Mariana Bajon. Vincent Pellewaert is in fact retired. He will be racing the World Cups, but he is in fact retired.
God, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
That would be nuts. Yeah.
So I thought two things. The first thing I thought of was perhaps she's retiring, but that wouldn't make sense. Second thing I thought of was perhaps they're having a baby, but I was like, well, there was no like family emoji, you know?
Yeah, but I hear, yeah, yeah.
But then I saw her and like, I don't know, her brother and Vinny comment. I don't know. I kind of thought maybe baby, but yeah, I don't think it is that.
If I have to guess, I'm going to maybe that. I would say they're starting a family.
That's what I was going to guess, but yeah.
What else do we guess? Does she have a new sponsor?
What else could it possibly be?
Is she the mayor of Colombia now or the, I don't know, prime minister? What do they have? President?
I don't know if it's a president or prime minister.
Okay, maybe she's just, you know, she's just the queen of, maybe she's just the queen of Colombia now.
She's announcing the, her candidacy,
candidacy.
It's a frustrating word. So it's a heart. It's her, Vinny, a celebration, gold medal, 100, a smiley and a bike. You see, when I saw the heart and like the two emojis and the celebration, that's why I thought it was maybe a family.
But I got an idea.
Okay.
GW has clearly been going under lately, right? Can we agree with that? Like she's the only one left that's a GW rider, I think.
Okay, going under? Like you're saying they're going out of business?
I'm meaning like there's no riders for them anymore. Like Carlos is done. I don't know about Diego Arboleda. He's still on the bike, but I don't know what he's doing. Like Vinny's not a GW rider anymore. Like a lot of the Colombia people aren't GW. Andrea Escobar, she's not like GW rider anymore. Maybe Mariana has started a new bike company because she's so big. She's like, we're not going to call it GW anymore. She's making her own bike brand.
Yeah. So it's something her and Vinny are doing together.
Yeah.
It's a celebration. There's a bike.
And she's number 100. Maybe the brand something to do with 100.
Oh.
Maybe yeah. It's like celebration gold medal, like gold one 100, one gold 100, number one. I don't know.
Mm. It's a tough one. We're gonna have to stay tuned. I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow what her deal is.
Miguel is her brother, right?
Yeah.
His thing is what a joy, with the hard eyes and three smiley faces. Like that's his
comment. That's not what you comment on a bike brand.
No, that's what I'm thinking now too.
So reminds me, I saw his comment, and that's why I thought like that would be perfect if you're having a child. No,
I would kind of think so. Like if he knows a secret, but he doesn't want to get it out.
I know.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I'm translating random Colombian people's comments.
Mm.
Whatever makes you happy and makes us happy too. That's a caption. I love that.
So yeah, I'm actually low-key looking forward to seeing what her news is. Anything Mariana does is cool.
You know in the Tiger world when the foreplay boys, they talk about the Tiger tweets and they get these blue background tweets from Tiger Woods. That's basically a press conference. Mm-hmm. And if it drops, normally it's something big. Mariana's mm-hmm. that level for BMX.
Yeah, well, yeah.
If she does
yeah,
something she like this, I feel like she has people on her toes waiting.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
I got to talk about my convo with the Tacoma guy. I went to the driving range yesterday evening.
Okay, I'm curious where this is going, so go with it. Yeah.
It was the driving range yesterday evening. And how much of a dude conversation is this? So I pull up, I'm driving my truck, Toyota Tacoma.
Nice.
I pull up, park beside a guy, and I look over and he's in a Tacoma TRD also, except his is like a coffee color, like a cappuccino color. It looks pretty fucking sick.
Nice. Okay.
And so I get out of my truck, go to the back, pull my clubs out. And then he at the same time gets out of his truck, pulls his clubs out. And I was like, dude, sick truck. Love the color. And he's like, thanks, bro. He's like, what do you like your truck? I was like, yeah, I love it. He's like, yeah. And then we just both walked away. How much of just a dude conversation is that?
That's just
dude,
the most
nice truck.
Classic.
Dude, California. Nice truck. Love the color. Dude, nice truck. Love the color. Yeah, thanks, man. You like yours? Yeah, I love it. Yeah, cool.
Cool, that's bro. California dudes at the range. Just, bro, yo, do you like your truck?
Or just, like, yeah, just real deep conversations going down at the golf course.
Who do you think between the two of you knows more about, like, the in-depths of working on a truck and, you know, getting your hands dirty, being a mechanic?
It's definitely, I can say it's definitely not me. I know nothing about cars.
It's fair. It's these days, there's a guy for that, so.
We're talking nothing. Yeah, I don't know.
Know where the gas tank is, maybe the battery, you know, pump up the tires. Yeah.
And you put it here, we need betting on BMX. We certainly do. That reminds me of the hockey playoffs going on. Betting in hockey and professional sports is just enormous.
Huge. I don't
like okay. I know it's always been big, but I feel like now it's just amplified.
Yeah, no, in the past, like I want to say five years ish, maybe a little bit more. It's just growing exponentially. Like betting in sports is becoming legal in a lot of places. I feel like it was illegal for a long time. So the fact it's legal now, people are jumping all over it. And I feel like companies hop on board, and these companies that are like betting websites and betting companies, I feel like they have shit ton of money. So they're promoting and supporting bunch of different sports and events and all this stuff. And if we got on that, I think that would be huge for us.
I was thinking, so this made me think, you know, the Olympics, there's odds on BMXers. We should bet on it. And then we'll just have a podcast just talking about odds and who we like and all that. That'd be fun.
Dude, it'd be sick. I mean, can you imagine could talk about, like, I don't know, you take somebody like, who do we got here? Joris, like, what's his odds to win? Like, is he a good pick if you want to put money on, you want a long mm-hmm. shot? How's Isaac look? What about Renkrell? He's low down because, you know, he's been injured, but, you know, his odds are good because of that, and he's coming in fast. He might be a good pick. He might make some money. Like, that'd be fun.
It would be super fun. And yeah, we need that for the World Cups.
I think it would bring random eyeballs to the sport because, let's be real, people like to bet on whatever they can. I'm not saying that all of a sudden we're going to just, you know, a huge attraction of people is going to come to the sport to bet on it, but it might attract a few more. It might bring some more money in because the betting company comes in. I don't know. I just feel like it's an option, a possibility that could open up doors.
I think it's more complicated though, because I think if you do that, you also need some sort of system where people can post if they're like injury updates and stuff. Mm. Like I think a lot of sports, they do that for betting purposes now, because you if like the league and people are earning revenue, you have to put out, you have to be fair with it also and not have people betting on some guy that's not even playing without realizing.
Good point. Okay.
So it gets tricky. So you'd have to have something where there's like an injury update of BMXers before a race.
I wonder how you do that then.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know if that's necessary, but I know I was listening to some other podcasts from other sports and they were saying that like that's a big thing.
That is extremely far above my pay grade or our pay grade to know anything about how that works. But like, do you think in basketball they have to update their injuries or baseball,
it's different,
tennis?
It's different. Like in football, you have to, I think. Like you have to say what the injury is. I think it's a rule. I know in hockey, you have to say if they're playing or not, like a healthy scratch or they're injured, but you don't have to disclose the injury. So they'll be like, I don't know if it's changed, but some dude in the playoffs will like fucking separate his shoulder and they'll be like, oh, he's got the flu. He's dated.
No way.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still like that exactly, or you have to say it now, but that's the way it kind of always was. But you still had to put him on injured reserve.
Yeah. I like when they're as vague as just being like, you know, it's just a lower body injury.
Yeah. Or they're just vague. Classic, like lower. Yeah. Yeah, he's like got a broken ankle. Yeah, he's just listed, you know, week to week with a lower body injury. It's like, well, what does that mean?
You could tell us, is it a sprained ankle, torn ligament? Like, you probably know the specifics. I'm sure you could just tell us.
Yeah, so you'd need probably something like that if you're going to have betting.
They should. Well, we should get on that. We should find a way. We have the stats to show, like, you know, results. Results are up online instantly, so.
Yeah. Huh. Let's get into the Tulsa preview. So, the track. What do you think of the track? You raced it last year.
I think the track's a great racetrack. I think it's techie. It's got a good burly first jump that is causes separation, forces you to be precise and accurate because if you case it, you're losing some speed down the first straightaway. Small jumps going in the first turn, and the track veers to the right a lot in the first turn, so it's really wide open. So you got to be careful of your line going into it, which can be kind of exciting, I guess. If you remember last year, Isaac was able to go super low and make a good move. Long second straight, which is awesome. Third straight, obviously pretty basic, but super long. So, I mean, you take a look in general, I think we got a phenomenal racetrack again.
Yeah, I think really fair. The first straight's tough from the outside. There's so much room in one and two to cut across that I think inside plays a pretty big advantage here.
Yeah. I remember last year I was talking about the wall. We hadn't had any experience with that. Just being so close to that first straight lane eight. I don't think that plays an issue, which is a good thing. And we kind of joked about it, like, are you crazy having a wall that close? But because everything goes to the right, no one's really pushing out that wide, really. So if you're in lane eight, although it doesn't feel like you have a lot of room to your left, you have plenty because nobody's moving, pushing you that way either.
Yeah, plenty of room. Decently technical second straight too. Nothing crazy, but good for racing, I think.
Yeah. Tiny little jump out of the turn. You come out with a lot of speed, especially in a full lap and a hot lap. So that's I wouldn't even say cause issues, but you got to be precise on that one to get the next two nice. So.
Yep. And long third straight and kind of a decent last straight actually too. Saw some cool lines on it. Some guys going like step up over roller, double manual.
Yeah.
Be a bit risky in a full lap, but it's cool.
Do you think a long rhythm section like it is on the third straight, but being very basic, is that like something that you think I can't remember last year, but do we still see a lot of passes on something like that because it's basic? Like, I don't think people are making a huge difference in my opinion, like the level we're at, like people are pretty damn good at just doing a nice manual and keeping their speed or gaining speed. Like it's not like,
yeah,
it's not like you can make a huge difference.
Tough to make a difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be nice to have it be a little more technical, but I think you also can, like, if your track speed's better, I mean, you could still pull guys in the third straight.
That's a good thing. So we should expect some passes there. I mean, last turn, I think from what I remember too, it's railable for sure, but you do have to enter a little bit more wide to really crank at it 100%. So it leaves the door open.
I just remember Spencer Cole cleaning you out in the second corner last
God,
year.
That was awesome. Hey, like looking back now, fuck, that was just something.
Do you remember Drew's first round too? Was it Drew cleaned out his teammate?
Yes.
Yeah, that was gnarly.
That was something. Those videos, go check them on Chatter from last
year.
That was
exciting. I was just thinking of that. Those were some fireworks in racing. You almost fucking killed the guy along the fence. He had no idea. He had no idea. He almost got his rib cage caved in by you.
Oh, just 1 foot balancing, just a little quick little chicane around him and keep her going.
Like you just can't stand in those places. And if you do, you got to fucking pay attention.
That would be a place that you need the barriers. You need the hockey boards around the outside.
You just don't stand there. You just can't. Don't stand where he did.
No, you can't.
You just can't. It's honestly really dangerous.
I think I'm sure he and others do know now because that was a close call. We can say that.
Getting into the men, Wood Larson and Jay Smooth. I think, you know, with being there early in training and especially Jay Smooth coming off some good results, same with both cams. I like those three.
Do you like, yeah, I think so too. So they've had a camp there. Do you know how long they've been there? I was trying to figure it out. I think at least a week or two though, probably.
Well, they were there all of last week and then this week. So
okay.
2 weeks.
Basically. Yeah. There's getting some good time on the track, which is huge. I saw a big group of them getting some training in. So for some reason, I feel like on this track, that first straight, getting comfortable in that pack over the first jump again, which doesn't take long for riders of their level, but having that comfort is huge and probably will benefit them. Jay Smooth has been going fast. Larson's been looking really fast as well. And you got Wood, who's just, I think, what is he, won a weekend right now? Like one win a
weekend?
Yeah,
and he also won there last year.
Yeah.
So you can take that into account. But yeah, I think Cam Larson and Jay Smooth are both on the rise. Obviously, the results have gotten better each race this year. Cam Larson raced really well in Rock Hill. And obviously, Jay Smooth's had a couple of good weekends in Oldsmar and Rock Hill. So I look for them to be factors for the podium and probably the win as well.
I think I'm going to throw Ricardo in that list too. I feel like he's been on the uprise. We say that he's someone that doesn't make a lot of mistakes, puts himself in good positions. I saw some clips of him, you know, with Cam, Jay Smooth, them. And I saw his clips of a scooter, but I mean, him riding on the track was really clean. And I think a track like this, if he can keep the flow, I feel like, I don't know. I got a feeling you see him in the main this time.
I think this track really suits him because especially on the first straight, it's more about rhythm and backsides than it is all out power like some other supercross first straights. You have to get the first jump smooth. You got to get over the second jump smooth, same as the triple. So I think this really suits Picardo and he's got some room to move and shift around on the track. So I agree with that pick.
Joris obviously wasn't here last year, but I think he's a given to be just a guy we call in the mix at all times too.
Especially he's been stateside. He's been training in Florida, riding supercross. Yeah, I think he's going to be exceptional this weekend. I would say the same as the Aussies too. Like someone like Isaac, clearly he's had a good year and won some races and he got his first win here last year in Tulsa, just like Cam. So to me, they're both on a similar trajectory, him and Cam Wood. So I really like Isaac. It'll be good to see Jack Davis back. Fuck dude, he recovered fast from his injury.
I thought it was a pretty gnarly one from what I remember. And yeah,
he's back, eh? Yeah, crazy and looking really good. So Aussies have had a camp in Tulsa as well. Jack's looked really good. So it'll be cool to see him back racing. I don't know if he'll be at 100%, but he was super fast in Houston. Like one of the fastest guys there. So
it's a good point. I think you got a lot of guys in the mix right now, it feels like. And Dark Horse that we didn't know about, who's not actually a Dark Horse, just nobody knows that he's there and coming. So breaking news, Sylvain Andre is back there too.
Mm-hmm. So Sylvain is good for a 2-3-3 weekend.
So yeah, put him on the box. National champs on Sunday for USA.
Oh, right. It is national champs.
We can talk. We can get to that. We'll talk about that a little bit. But yeah, so expect Sylvain on the box at least 2 days.
So Sylvain will probably go 2-3 on Friday, Saturday. yes. So at least 4 podium spots open.
Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just want to touch on Freddy Villegas too. Man, he's done, like I mentioned a couple shows ago, I think, but man, he's done a really good job of improving his starts. Holy shit, is his movement so much cleaner now? Love his move, especially from a few years ago. I could tell he's done a lot of work. He used to collapse down and then drive forward, where now it's just one swift motion moving forward. Gets into his spin really well. So love to see that, Freddie. Good work, buddy. And I feel like he's been racing this year and is due for a good result too.
That's cool. I feel like I haven't seen him back in a little while. Did he race Florida, right? He raced Houston, didn't he?
Yeah, was he in Houston?
I just know he wasn't in Rock Hill.
Was he in Houston?
I feel like he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. He was in Oldsmar.
Oldsmar, yes. I meant, and then he wasn't in Rock Hill.
I actually don't think he was in Houston though.
Okay. So that'll be awesome to see him back. Obviously, I don't want to say back in the mix, but in there, because you're right. I mean, guy's got new action to show off. He's trying to just show off that new action. Yeah. Let's go.
He's working on his new move.
Yeah.
I like his move.
I got Gmo in the YouTube chat. He's like, don't forget Corbin. I mean, we can't forget Corbin. He did win the US title last year. So, I mean, Corby, this is the track of Corby Flows, but I was going to mention that Gmo mentioned They resurfaced the turns. They put a new coating down, so hopefully there's a little more grip. We see less slide outs. Just a thought. I don't think there was a ton, but there were a few, definitely a few slide outs in that second turn, I think.
Speaking of Natty Champs, I want to say since like 2011, you know, the U.S. national champ has been either Nick, Corbin, or Connor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's like, what, 13 years, 12 years, whatever it is.
And it's just on Corbin's shoulders right now to keep it going.
Come on, Corby.
He's got a he's got a tough time having to hold back Larson, yeah. Smooth, Wood.
I think Camp. I think Wood's going to win his first national championships.
Prediction? Bold prediction?
Yeah, Woods wins U.S. national champs. Yeah.
It's going to be
tough. Do you feel like the U.S. national championship, for whatever reason, like I feel like when most countries have it, it's a huge deal. And not that it's not a big deal for the elite classes in the U.S., but I feel like it's maybe not as hyped up as much.
I do agree, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what the reason is, but I remember, let's say back in the 2013 range, they had like a national champs on Beijing where I thought it was huge. They had the whole national champs at Beijing Supercross track, and it was just for that. I felt like it was bigger. But nowadays, although it's kind of, it feels like it's kind of thrown in on a Sunday after racing, and the USA guys do it. They love it, obviously, but it's not like the Dutch national champs. It's not the French national champs, yet the USA is always held to the standard of the Dutch guys and the French guys.
It's kind of weird, maybe because the USA BMX series is so big, like everyone just kind of views that as the national championships, you know? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. And I think maybe, to be honest, it also is just the USA title is so big. It's like the French don't have a series title that's as big as their national champ. So it's like they have that one big race. Like USA has the grand. It's like that, nothing tops that.
Yeah. So probably that's gets overshadowed by that, I would think.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of it, because otherwise, you would think it has everything it needs to be as big as they want to make it. They do make it a big thing, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah.
Other guys, though, someone mentioned in the chat, too, Kenny G. Just a low-key guy.
Fuck yeah, Kenny G.
He just low-key shows up and is fast as heck. So, I mean, be ready. Watch out for him.
Yeah, and he's the type of dude, too. He can just fucking rip off starts and hole shots. Just... you won't even be expecting him. He's just winning motos.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you don't even realize. I mean, I didn't realize he was in his new colors. He's on the radio team a while ago. And I was like, who the hell is that guy? He's like, Kenny G. He's like, no shit.
So, yeah. He's been around forever and always pulling.
This is just kind of random and out of the blue, but is McLean going to be there? His last post was March 31st of him riding the track basically for the first time. Just getting back from his ankle. He's not going to be ready yet, hey?
For sure not, no.
No. From what I remember when we talked to him, it was more like getting ready for the World Cups, I think, right?
Yeah, that injury is tough to come back from. It's too soon now, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's too bad, but also good at the same time.
Yeah. Anything else on the men's side that we missed?
I'm trying to think because there's absolutely something. Let me, like, go to old pull.
I mean, probably at this point, but
this is what we do. Are we going to see people? Are we going to see the boys? Like, I guess we're not going to see, like Rico. Rico's not going to be there. I don't assume, eh?
Why wouldn't he be?
I think he's in Europe, so I assume he's not coming just back over for the race.
Oh, then yeah.
Let me get to something. I got a couple questions to ask too, which is not related to the national champs, but I'll just ask them right now while I'm looking, because I'm seeing new USA. BMX like development team jerseys, I'm going to call them. Mm-hmm. But I saw you post a picture of a Canadian jersey. Where did you see that?
How fucking sick are those?
That is what I think it is, right?
It's an amateur. It's a challenge jersey for the world.
That's the challenge jersey for the world.
How fucking nasty are those?
Fucking shitting me.
That's what my source tells me.
Okay, because they've been under. So like last year, there was this big meeting, and we're trying to like make new jerseys and get new jersey designs. And I thought that was what was going to be the new national team jersey. And I was like, no fucking way. That's sick.
Those are so nasty. Those jerseys, they should be the national team jersey.
They should. I agree.
Yeah.
So, we got a potential guest coming in.
There he is. How's it going, buddy?
There we go.
Slyvane Andre. What's up in Tulsa?
Yes. Just got here tonight. And I was supposed to come with Flora, but she had issue with the flights and the plane and all that stuff. So she ended up staying at home.
Oh, she's not coming at all.
Yeah, she's not coming at all. She spent the entire day at the airport. And she was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll stay home.
No way.
Oh, wow.
So you just got a whole place yourself right now?
No, the Juris is coming here Wednesday.
Okay.
For practice. So yeah, for now it's a little lonely at the house. But yeah.
Are you at the same house that you were for the Grands?
No, different one. Okay. But still like kind of like you know, James, the old houses with the vents on the floor.
Yeah.
With the vents. It's kind of the same, like as old as the one we had.
That thing was ancient.
Built in, like, that was built in like the 50s probably, yeah?
Yeah, like, it was fine.
The floor was slanted.
Okay, that Airbnb you guys had for the Grands, the floor was pretty fucking jacked up.
The floor this time around is better.
That's good. Does it creak? Is it creaking while you walk on it?
Not really.
No, okay,
only in that, like, in that part. But, and even the house itself is weird. Like, there's two living rooms. So there's two places with sofa and TV, but there's only one bathroom, and the garage communicates with a bedroom. Like it's kind of weird.
You know what's weird about old houses? Like nowadays when they build houses, they build like living room, kitchen, like wide open together. Back then, like everything was its own room. There was like a kitchen room and then a living room and a TV room.
That's exactly how it is.
Yeah. So what's been going on? What's been going on, dude? How's training?
It was good. It was good. We were having a little French team camp last week in Sarrian, where we're going to raise a World Cup and where Romain and I train. So it was good to see all the guys because we didn't do anything together since Bogota World Cup, pretty much. So we saw each other at the races, or like some guy went to the south of France for a few days here and there, but... it was good to be, all together again and made for some, like, stack training.
No shit, man. It'd be a tough week if you go to those camps a little tired or not pulling. You just get lit up.
Especially the thing, like, we had, like, kind of, like, easy riding session. But the only thing was when we do gates, it's all together. And there's no free lanes. And, man, like, it can be... They can destroy you, really. Because I used to be really like always dead last all the time, all the camps. Now I'm sometimes out front or I'm more like a midfield guy. But if you get there and think, okay, I'm gonna compare to the guy and I'll build on this, yeah, it can destroy you, really.
Yeah, you feel good at home. You go to the camp and just can't go between like Romain and Romain and Jeremy or something. Yeah, it's tough.
And yeah, and fucking like talking about Jeremy, fucking Jeremy, like he was out for like 3 months. He was back on the bike, really back doing gates maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he fucking smoked everybody.
Unreal. Like,
he's so like, fucking fast.
What? I asked him, like, what's even the point in training? Just like chill, do something else, like go find a new hobby and just show up to the races. I mean, if I was pulling like this out of the blue, fuck, I'll do this.
It's like guys like that, they're just like always fast. Like they're just never not pulling.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We got to adapt.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What about you guys? How are you guys doing? Long time no see, Tori.
Yeah, big day. Got engaged yesterday, so that happened.
You just breaking out of the show like that?
Just what is breaking. Yeah.
We're just breaking out of the show. Unbelievable.
Yeah, got engaged yesterday.
Where did you pop the question?
Down at the beach. So we had our first date like in Pacific Beach in San Diego like 6 years ago. So we went to a similar beach nearby and then we went for a walk. And actually like got the ring like 10 days ago. So I was thinking, okay, like, earlier this week, I was like, Savannah, we should go to the beach on Sunday for a walk. And she's like, yeah, sure. Because we go to the beach like a few times a week to go for a walk. And then the whole week, I was like, yeah, looking forward to Sunday. Looking forward to going for a walk.
The guy cannot hide the thing.
Yeah. And then so we're walking along. We're walking along the shore. And like, it's on the bay side, so it's quieter. So I was waiting for like a moment where there wasn't any people around. Because I just wanted to just be us, kind of. And then there was like no one around. Then it was really nice. And I was like, yep, now's the time. So she started walking. And then I just like knelt down. And then I called her name and she turned around. And I was just kneeling down in the sand.
Nice.
Yeah.
How did she react?
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Was she surprised, or you've been talking about this for?
We've been like at the moment she wasn't expecting me to do it like right then and there, but we'd been talking about it. So, and I mean, we live together. It's not like a huge surprise.
Yeah, yeah, but like even like just talking about it, I'm asking, like I'm even wondering, how does that work? I'm really not into it, but like, how does that work? Are you? I mean, like, do you, James, if you were to marry your new girlfriend,
yeah.
In the previous time, like, do you talk about wedding and all that stuff, and then you pop the question and give the ring, or you just like fucking let's go, let's ask her out of the blue and see what she says?
Are you talking about me specifically?
No, me or whoever, but like I have really no idea. I should know more.
I gotta think you get to the point in relationship, Tori, where you just like, you probably just joke it. Oh, you know, when are you gonna marry me? Kind of thing. She jokes about it. You joke about it. Blah blah blah. You're not my wife yet, or I don't know.
Yeah, like we've been talking about it for a while. And like a few months ago, we went to like get a ring sized and like picked out the ring and stuff.
That's what gives it away.
Well, yeah, it's not a surprise. Like, we've been together 6 years and whatever.
I feel like if you don't go ring shopping ever, though, at least it's like, oh, we haven't even talked about it. We haven't gone ring shopping. As soon as you go ring shopping, it's like she's looking around every corner just waiting for you to be on a knee.
Yeah, so obviously, like, she knew it was coming at some point, but yeah. She didn't know, like, that day that it was going to happen, obviously.
Give me the details. Where was the ring the whole drive and while you're walking around? Are we talking
okay, about... Okay, so this... This was a problem. When I got it like 10 days ago, it was when my parents were here. And so I was like away from the house and I got a notification that it had been delivered. And I was like, fuck.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You got like, you ordered it online?
I had it made. Yeah, you get it made from, so then they deliver it. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the best way to like, the best way she can find out.
Yeah, that's the thing. Luckily, she didn't.
Yeah, wow.
Luckily,
I mean, you could just like go.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, she did.
And grab it.
No, but I had it made. I had it made. Like,
you couldn't send it to the store though, or something.
I guess I could have, but I just didn't.
Yeah,
just didn't. I don't know. Anyway, so then I
how to ruin everything.
So then I was gonna take it in the box. I was gonna take it like in the box. Yeah. But then I put it in my pants. And I was like, well, fuck, it's so obvious. Like, it's just sticking out of my pants. And so then I took it out and just put it in, like, you know, like in your pocket, there's like the little mini pocket in the pocket.
Yeah.
I put it in the mini pocket. And then so the whole time I was just like making sure it was still there, making sure I wasn't losing it.
Do you put anything in your left pocket normally, or where, what side is the mini
pocket? It's on the right side.
Okay.
I put it in the, and then I put my phone in front of it.
So when you take your phone out, you're probably being extra careful every time, weren't you?
Yeah, I was checking nonstop that it was there. Yeah.
That would just, I mean, that's what scares me the most about this. Like, yeah, the time up to it, it's so easy just to pull your phone out of your pocket or your hand, thing just pops out. You know, you don't know where it is.
Yeah, I made sure it didn't happen.
Huh. Anybody see?
Hey guys. No, there's like no one around.
I got something for you to talk about. You know, a few days ago, UCI BMX on Instagram, they put the video from Baba, 2005.
I didn't actually see it, but okay.
I mean, like, you see, you know what I'm talking about. Well,
yeah, yeah.
2005.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to comment because I didn't want to get, like, shot in the face. But if you look closely, if the Jamie Gray wouldn't crash, he would land way off the white line. And I don't even know if he actually took off on track or out of the track. And I didn't want to comment on it because I didn't want to be the guy. But if you want to talk about it later with the viewers.
What are you trying to say here, Selvin?
Can you tell him the video that he lands on the outside, like off the chalk line?
Yes, because when the guy crashed, he's like on the white line, really.
Mm.
No, I'm not saying anything, but just the thing, it was funny because I've seen this video fucking 100 times, and for some reason I was looking at it differently the other day, and I was like, oh, maybe he even took off the white line.
I will say, In this video, they make it really tough because they cut it off.
Yes. Especially when they go into the turn.
Yeah, they change he is angle. Inside, hey? Mm. Oh, yeah, like he might even bounce off the top corner of the landing and just bounce all the way down into the track again.
I mean, it's fine. We all did it at some point.
That's racist.
It's called playing with the limits.
So that would be a tough call. Can you imagine the official, like, fuck, I got to take this world championship away from this guy. Oh, brutal.
Imagine the call you have to make.
Yeah.
And then the guy in second become world champ?
You got to be sure. You got to be sure.
Who was that that went down? Jamie Gray. Who was it?
Jamie Gray.
Yeah. Jamie Gray. If he doesn't go down, he just gets second. Like, how pissed is he? If he looks back on that and he sees that, like, he's like, I was at the white line. Like, what more could I have done other than go over the white line to block this guy?
I mean, he kind of fucked it up anyway, though. Really.
I just mean, if he didn't crash and then he just got second because Bubba did that, like, let's say.
Oh, yeah, I got your points.
Yeah.
Like, how mad are you? Because it's like you did everything you thought you needed to do. You protect the white line, then, yeah.
Somebody crushed it. Yeah, that's BMX. Happens sometimes.
That is BMX. Yeah.
Yeah. Might happen this weekend in Tulsa into turn one.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Speaking of that, I just thought of, so when I won Pan Am Games, I jumped into the first corner. The same thing happened to me. And if you look at the video, it's like a little sketchy. And so at the finish line, I was like looking at the official to see if I was going to get DQ'd. I was like celebrating by looking. I was like, oh my God. I didn't actually know if I was on the wrong side, but it happens. Like if you're going for it in a corner, it's going to happen at some point.
So somebody was trying to block you and you accidentally went off the white line?
I don't know if I went off it or not, but Alfredo was coming over. Yeah.
I don't know someone else.
It's close. Like, if you watch the video, it's close.
At that point, those are just guidelines.
Silva, Connor sent me a screenshot of Argentina. The first year he won the title, the second day, and the second corner, you're on the inside of the track.
We talked about it many times, and I feel like Connor cannot get over it. Like, thing is, so you see how Argentina, how we, like, the takeoff is fucking a meter wider than the landing, right? Because it goes left. So I'm in four and I'm past Molina, like jumping on the inside. And I think we even hit each other. I hit him in the butt maybe. And I do ride in the white line. But like in Argentina, it's either asphalt or straight to the grass.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't rode the grass. It's fine. I rode the white line.
And white line's in bounds to me.
Yeah, white line is fine to me.
You're on the inside of the white.
On the white line.
I play soccer rules in this. I mean, like if you're touching the white line with any bit of your tire, you're in.
That's what happened that day.
That one is tough because you jump on the inside. You just instantly run out of track. It's like Manchester's first corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, it's not like I didn't gain any advantage doing this. I just passed the guy.
No.
I would pass him, like, maybe if I was, like, 3 inch more on the track, maybe I would kill Molina and still make it. So at least, I left the guy alive.
It'd be tough for officials, too, to call it in real time. Like, you'd need almost the instant replay because it happens so fast that you can't possibly see it all.
And you got to take into account if somebody gets kind of pushed off too and they're battling.
Yeah.
But even the rule itself, because I believe the rule says that you, even if you get pushed to the inside or of the track, you should not gain advantage. That's what the rule says.
Yeah.
But in so many cases, so the guy gets like pushed to the white lines. So he goes off. Doesn't gain any spots. The guy stays in fifth, let's say. But even doing this, you're getting an advantage because if you hit the brake, you're dead last.
Yeah.
So if you go off the white line and still stay in the race, basically you're getting advantage. So I feel like maybe we should do a rule like and be very strict. You go off, whatever reason, you get DQ'd.
I had a big
because I feel like every time there's a situation. There's no call on mate because nobody wants to take the risk and it's up to you how you like how you see the rule and all that stuff. I feel like, yeah, it should be black or white. You're off. That's it. Yeah. Bye-bye.
I remember having a big discussion with
bye-bye.
Or if you go off the white line and then you go from fifth to last, then it's okay. You can race again.
Yeah.
But it's kind
of
weird.
I had a big discussion with Chris Bullivan. He's one of the UCI officials from Canada and being a world champs and whatnot. And he was actually like asking
the big tall dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like actually asking me like, so like, what is your interpretation? I think, or like he was asking me about it, like spitballing back and forth, because it's the same thing. It's like, it comes down to what somebody views that advantage or disadvantage of. Is giving up the position a disadvantage enough to continue racing, or is having to slow down to keep yourself on the track, which puts you back to last, like you said, the proper way to do it. It's like, it's tough. It's almost a personal opinion, and it's how you train somebody basically.
Yeah, and also there's also I think like also the thing is that the safety matter. Obviously, if I'm catching on somebody and I have two options, is like run into him or maybe go off the white line. Maybe that's safer to go off the white line and still like keep my position, because otherwise you would like crash into the guy. So yeah, even like yeah, I don't want to write the rule about the white line.
I think if you look at almost most, okay, the two comparable sports I'm thinking of are motocross and Formula One, and they're both the same idea, where as long as you give up the position, you keep racing. You don't have to go to last. You give up the position, you continue. That's all.
Yes.
I think that's...
Yes, but still, like as I say, if you're in fifth and you stay in fifth, you're not giving any position and you keep on racing, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Maybe like,
yeah, like it is a bit
two position.
It is basically pretty subjective, because in motocross too, like, oh, he didn't gain a position, but it's like, well, if you miss the jump, like you shouldn't be able to pin it along the infield and come back into exactly where you were, because then it clearly is an advantage, because you should be farther back than that.
Yeah.
So, even though you didn't gain a position technically.
It happens so many times with the girls racing as well, where they would, you know, in Papendal, for instance, they would go wide into the first turn. And then use our pro section takeoff to, and even if you don't gain position, like the lady in third, she pushes you to the outside and you jump from the pro sets and stay in fourth. No, that's not working. You should, in real life, you should hit the brake and get behind lose a position.
One place it gets tricky too is like down a first straight, let's say like Shepperton? Yeah, like Shepperton, where long first straight, the white line's there. There's plenty of room on the left. Let's say you're in lane one, guy in lane two cuts you off. Okay, you slide back right behind him, but instead of like pulling brake and staying on the track, you keep your speed. You get back on the track right behind him. You go into the first turn, and then you swoop him in the first turn. It's like, okay, like, yeah, you didn't gain the advantage there, but because you went off the track and didn't pull your brakes, you got the advantage into the first turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's weird.
it's really subjective. Yeah, like it's not like a black and white thing. Speaking of the women having to cut back, fuck, that would suck. Having to race a World Cup and cut back to the brutal. Like it sucks. Like a lot of times that you'll be in like first or second, you have to go wide, and you just get high load by two people. Boom.
Yeah. What's your?
I mean, it sucks, but you can do it. We did it in Rockia this year.
Yeah, of course. But
like no disrespect, but they go a lot slower than us into the first straight, first turn, and I mean if that's how it is, I think you get used to it. It's fine. I feel like most of the time it's fine. Sometimes it's the worst. Like to me, the shitty part is when they go so on the outside of the second turn. So in the second straight, they have to stay on the inside and nothing happened in the second turn because it's super big. It's a big and long for her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
What is your, what's your guys' thoughts on having tough locks, like the big airbags inside, on the inside of the first turns?
The thing we had in Rock Hill?
No, those are those little pylons. No, I'm talking like the big airbags, like at World Cups and what they'll have.
Or motocross. Yeah, like the tough block, like the big rectangle things.
Yeah.
That sucks.
You know, like
because also, like, for instance, maybe it's already USA Racing. Manchester, or maybe that was 19. Anyway, they would put the airbag on the inside. But for me, same thing as the white line. I'm allowed to ride on the white line, or I'm allowed, and even if you're like this much like infield, if you lean your bike, you're gonna hit the thing. And it happens to me at the World Cup 1 year. Yeah. I would hit the thing with my handlebar. So I went to Eva and they fucking moved that thing. So I think this is too big. And yeah, I don't know what we should use, but yeah, good old cones.
It's a little sketchy. It's like if you're going that fast and clip a pedal, you could really get hurt.
Yeah, Joris crashed this way in Papendal 1 year. It was bad.
I'm not a big fan either. I think on the outside of the top of the turns, they look great. On the inside, you need to be something different because you need to be aware of how much we can lean the bike over and like the different approaches you can take. It can't be affecting.
Even like, they usually do this in French Cups. You know, the very little cone you use for like, for your clinics and all that stuff. You know, the very small ones?
Soccer cones, soccer practice cones.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually in French Cup, when there's asphalt everywhere and there's no grass or rocks, whatever, they would put this on top of the white line. So if somebody goes off the track, instantly you see it because the fucking cone goes off.
That's a really good idea.
And you can lean, like you can ride the white line, lean as much as you can. You're not going to hit the thing. And also, if you want to risk it, you might crash, because if you risk it too much and try too much, you're going to ride on the cone and fucking eat shit. And it looks stupid. It looks terrible. That's okay. But I think that's the best thing to avoid guys crossing the white line and helping the commissaire making a decision.
It's a really good idea. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with that either.
That's a very few good idea they have at the French Cup. One of very few.
I was talking about with Adam the other day, Tori, about Toronto, and we were talking about airbags too. And the one time that you went inside, I don't know if it was a main or a quarter or semi, whatever.
God, and it was a moto, yeah.
Yeah, it was a moto, yeah. Third round, I think. You went inside and into the second
fucking
turn,
ate shit.
Absolutely T-boned the airbag. And ate shit, and then sent the airbag right out in front of me. That was like right back behind you to the right, and I ate shit into the airbag too.
Literally, I landed the second pro jump, but I was just going right at the fucking tough block. Pretty sure I went head, flipped the bars, went head first into the other tough block. Well, it was stupid. It's the same thing. It like jumped, and then you turn right, and hit the tough block.
It was
sketchy. It's pretty sketchy because otherwise, obviously, neither of us would have crashed.
Keep them on the outside, and sometimes on the outside you kind of like avoid you from getting hurt, really.
Sure. All right, Sylvan, this weekend are we doing the usual second third, or are we getting a win this weekend? What's on the cards?
Pardon, I wasn't listening.
are you gonna get the usual second third this weekend, or we're gonna win one? What's the plan?
Fuck no, the plan is to win, really.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, tired of like getting second, third. So I didn't travel for a week just to get two third. So I gotta get I'd rather get a win in the semi than 2 second. So we'll see. It won't be the field won't be as deep as it was last year, because like Nick was there, McLean was there, but Joris is coming this year. He wasn't there last time around. And then the same as Rock Hill, the Corbin, the Cams, Isaac. So we'll see what we can do. But
Are you a fan of the track?
I like the track because it's kind of like different. It's a bit tiny. Let's put it this way. I like the track because it's technical. Second straight's technical. It's small, steep. And then the triple is long, it's flat. Like, it's not the best track out there, but it's technical to race on. So it's good for USA BMX, but the fact that we have a World Cup there next year, no, that's not a good idea.
Wait, is there a World Cup there next year?
That's what I heard. So maybe I don't want to spoil everybody.
Right on.
You're the writer's rep, so you should know. You should know
I mean, I.
But I've heard they're doing World Cup there from like next year and the next 3 years after that or something.
Awesome!
Like that.
I'll be at a World Cup again. Stoked.
Coffee chat will be on the ground.
Yeah, you say BMX, but that's it.
Okay,
that's cool.
All right, Slyvane, good to catch up with you, buddy.
And talk to you later.
Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Slyvane.
Merci. I'll kick ass.
Go get him.
See you, buddy.
I'll do this for the team. Ciao.
Au revoir. Salut.
Bye-bye. So I just quit and that's it.
That's it. And then you're off.
Press the button, you're off.
Boom. See you later. Boom. Fucking see you later.
Love that guy.
There he's gone. Slyvane. Good to catch up with Slyvane.
Where's the drop when you need it, hey?
Is getting engaged...
What?
Is getting engaged not a thing in France or Europe?
No, I think it is still. I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I think it is.
Because he made it sound like he wasn't like... Maybe he just hasn't done it himself.
I don't think he's done it himself. I don't...
Right.
Yeah. I love the story. I just like to hear all about it.
You know, it's fun. Like, honestly, like with us, because we are living together and been together for so long, it doesn't feel any different because we already feel like we're married basically. But it's like special and still awesome.
It is. I just love that you just dropped it out of nowhere. I thought that was still, you know, some things you never know what to talk about on the show. It's like, and all of a sudden you popped. It's like, whoa. Does he remember we're live?
Well, I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, the weekend was pretty uneventful. You know, nothing happened.
Can you imagine being somebody not in your shoes in the sense of like they're just in this kind of good relationship, but they're just like, I'm going to just go big here and just see if she's into it.
You know, it's interesting. So when we were doing the ring sizing and picking out the ring and whatever, the guy asked us, the jeweler asked us like, how long you guys been together? And we said like, whatever, like six years. And he's like, interesting. He said, because he does this with couples all the time.
Oh yeah.
He says the couples that have been together for a long periods of time typically come in together, and the ones that haven't, it's just the guy. Interesting, huh?
That makes 100% sense, because like if you haven't been together a long time, you don't want to. Yeah, you haven't talked about it. You're just gonna make the jump and see, I think.
Yeah, so you've been together a long time. It's kind of, you both kind of go in, you know, it's coming. You're just like, all right, well, let's just like do it together. But yeah, it's kind of interesting, but. I think some people would, I'm sure some people would prefer to just do it all like kind of low key and then have it like be a huge surprise. But yeah,
I was hoping there were some people around, you know, I don't know about you, but I'd definitely be quite awkward in the situation if there's people watching.
Yeah, I didn't want people around. Did not want people around. I just wanted it to be like our thing, basically.
No, that's cool. I think that's even more special.
Yeah, it was cool.
So, speaking of, you know, savvy women, empowered women, great women, strong women. Females this weekend.
Fucking transition that was. All right, let's start with the Spice Girls right off the top. Bunch of them are on Team USA. So Mackenzie, Lexi, Peyton, all on Team USA, obviously. Delaney, can't forget the Desert Destroyer. So that's four of the Spice Girls. I've been there for 2 weeks, all making each other better. I like them this weekend.
I think this is where the Spice Girls as a unit shine through because, yes, they've been there together and they're on a track that requires a big-ass first jump like this and takes skills to jump this big-ass first jump. They're doing it together constantly. Those are the skills that they've been growing, developing that don't shine through as much in Rock Hill with a basic tabletop first jump, but I think they shine through here.
Yeah, I like that they all push each other to make each other better. I think that's really powerful, especially at a young age like they are.
Yeah, huge. I mean, let's like the girls have skills. Like Skittles, unbelievable skills. She's gonna be, I'm sure, phenomenal and like enjoying the track.
Really good track for her too, like especially with a premium on backsides and skill.
I think so too. Yeah. Especially their second let's start with their second straight. I mean, theirs is a technical great size second straight for them. It's I think phenomenal and requires skill to get through smoothly. So someone like her, someone like Delaney, those like all the girls actually are gonna be phenomenal, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of a bummer we're not seeing the Canadian Spice Girls. I don't know if we are.
Molly, is Molly going or no?
I don't know if she is. I'm going to take a guess at no, just based off the fact they have the training schedule this week and slash what they did last weekend. So I don't know. But Tegan's now in Europe, as people have seen. So yeah, just
you said at the center in Eglo. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I think there's a new program going on there. Tuan's over there. I think that's might be the deal. A little bit different, not just the same. I'll call it Liam program, even though he's in charge of probably everything. But yeah, I think there's something extra going on there, and now she's part of it. So that's going to be huge for Tegan, I think.
So they're like going to be full, not full time, but they're often or what? What's the deal?
Yeah, I would call it, I'll say near full time. I don't think she's going to live there permanently. I think it's going to be a back and forth thing, but it's like, I wouldn't call this just a quick 2 week trip. No, it's like, I think she's kind of moved over there, but I'm sure she'll be back for other races, maybe US races even, and then go back, or maybe some home time now and again, but a lot of time I think is going to be spent there now.
I think that'll be really good for her. Spend some time on Supercross every day and be in that environment with some obviously good coaching. It'll be really beneficial for her.
Yeah. A new environment like that for someone, I think in her place and her age is great for her.
Yeah. Especially while she's still young and really moldable.
Yep.
Alan Willoughby, not at the US camp, but she's going to be pulling.
Yeah. Just don't expect her to,
I mean,
here's what we do with
the fucking champ is here.
Here's what you expect out of Elise. She's probably going to post some stories, some photos, being at a Toyota event all week long. Probably going to be at some Daytona, Talladega, I don't know what kind of NASCAR race with Toyota, and then show up for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday national champs and just absolutely kill it. I think that's just what's going to happen.
Yeah. Here's the report on Elise for the next 30 years. She's pulling.
She's pulling. Yep. Yep. She's pulling.
Yep. Chance to win. Right on.
Yeah.
Her training partner, Law's, been looking spicy as well on the track. Seen some videos of her riding at the Team Oz camp. I like Oz, or I like Lauren this weekend. A track that has a premium, like we've talked about, on being smooth on the track, good backsides, good rhythm. I think less overall horsepower in the first straight, or less like the first straight is less focused on horsepower, which I think suits Lauren's ability to be really good on her bike. So I like Lauren for a couple podiums this weekend.
I agree. At least a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, which, I mean, that's all she can do, but I mean, at least a couple.
I was going to say, I mean, there's two. So.
I know she can only do two. I know it's not a 3 day weekend, but I'm just saying at least a couple, at least.
Yeah.
So
at least two this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, dude, she was phenomenal in Rock Hill. That one day she popped it off in the main event, not really main event, but considered kind of a main event. She's got the speed. You put that with her skills. Like, come on. Like, do we chalk her up for a win? Like, do her now? Like, do we chalk up Lauren for one of these wins? That would be sick. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah, that would be sick. Let's do it, Loss.
Let's fucking do it. So,
yeah, let's do it, Loss.
A bunch of other girls we're missing, I'm sure. I'm sure there's some more South American girls that are going to be in the mix like normal, too. Going to miss
someone. I don't think Mariana's going.
I don't think so either. Based on her about to pop some news off tomorrow, I don't think her news is going to be, I'm in Tulsa.
Yeah. Should we get to our game?
Yeah, so let's do it.
All right, we're doing your game. We just got to, I don't know, have a name for the game. We got to ask each other these questions.
Okay.
We both got to answer these questions.
Let's do it.
We'll call it five questions in Terry's corner.
Terry's corner, five questions.
Most embarrassing thing that's happened to you in training? So we both have to answer this question. Oh, boy.
Most embarrassing thing that's happened in training.
I can lead us off. So I was warming up for sprints one day years ago, and there's a kid on my street, a young kid riding his bike too. I had my long seat post in, went to manual. I was clipped in. Went to manual. The seat post caught my chest, couldn't grab my brake, full on looped out right in front of the kid, clipped in.
Oh, that's a good one.
I just looked around to make sure no neighbor saw me. Felt like a complete jackass.
That's so good. You just feel like an idiot at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that with sprints. I've done like, I wouldn't go to do a first pedal and completely spin out and just guts to handlebars. Yeah. I think
sprints can be dangerous.
They can. So this one was bad, actually. This, not bad, but it was kind of ridiculous, where I was doing my intervals one Saturday afternoon, I think it was, and finished my intervals, was exhausted, sweating buckets. Went to do a cool down ride and went to lean on my handlebars and I put my forearms on my grips, and my arms were so sweaty, I just fully slipped forward off my bike and just OTB'd on the ground. And I was exhausted, so that was brutal. Fuck, what other moments are all embarrassing? Right. I think that's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Most embarrassing thing that's happened in racing.
Most embarrassing thing that's happened in racing. Let me think of some races here. I've probably done some. Oh, I know.
I do know this. Yeah.
Do you know? You think you know what I'm going to say?
I know exactly what you're
going to say. The time trial?
Yes.
Yeah, the time trial. Do I need to? Okay, so yeah, time trial. First time trial, like pretty much ever. Beijing World Cup. Chula Vista Beijing Track World Cup. I was small. I could barely make the berm. It was super windy. Ended up not doing the berm, but I was like, fuck it. I'm going to jump through the third straight and just finish my lap off like a man. And, you know, yeah, whatever. Jump two jumps down the third straight in Beijing. I think cased one, cased the other. It's super windy. Maybe cased the next. I was like, okay, I'm just going to manual. Manual down the step down. Went to manual to the step double and just almost looped out to save it to just ejecto cito over the handlebars to break my collarbone and have to just walk off the track.
That was unbelievable. That was an unbelievable
you
moment.
You can't write a script for that one.
Tough. I mean, I crashed in two time trials. There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than crashing in a time trial. There just isn't.
No. All eyes run.
So I got to go. Yeah, I crashed in two time trials. That's got to be it.
I'm trying to think of like an actual racing one for either of us, but that's most time it's racing.
One time,
it's not like embarrassing.
One time at the Grand Semi, like 2014, we had a fucking stacked semi. There's like six of us. Anyway, try to make a move. I think on Nick or someone in the first corner for fourth, came out of the first turn, didn't get a great drive. Tapped the little setup jump the next one. I think I cased it pretty hard, went to pull my brake, couldn't pull it in time. I kind of half launched into the second pro jump, nose heavy, fucking slammed my bar Chicago. So keep in mind, it's the night show. Yeah. It's the night show.
Everyone's
I'm
watching.
Like, I don't know if I was the first or second semi. You know that sound when you move your bars? Like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just echoed and I heard the crowd go, ooh. And then so I'm just rolling around the track like pissed off, upset, embarrassed. And Redmond, I hear Redmond on the mic, someone get Tori a set of Allen keys. No way. I mean, that was pretty brutal. Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Oh, that's all time one. That's good.
That's, you know.
Grands has some good ones like that. I had one like I don't know which year it was, having a shitty race day. I think it was 2018 maybe. Long story short, third round, I get put up in the second turn, or I tried to make a move in the second turn, blew a foot off, and I was kind of like, fuck. And I was still at pretty high speed coming out of the turn, but I went to roll the first pro jump, and I forgot it was sand on the inside. Kind of jumped into the sand and just nosedive over the bars as well. And I was like, this is like brutal. I'm embarrassed. So I just grabbed my bike, hopped over the fence next to me, and just walked off.
It sucks. It just sucks.
Yeah. You don't like it.
Something random you do each day in your normal routine.
Something random. Okay. You got one?
Lately, I've been having a smoothie every morning with granola.
Nice.
It's been so fucking good. I'm addicted. I look forward to it every day.
Okay. That's a good one. Are we talking like smoothie bowl?
Yeah. I go like half a banana, blueberries, vanilla protein powder, scoop of peanut butter and oat milk, and then I put granola on top, and it is just incredible.
That's nice. I like that a lot. Okay, I have one similar, then I'll roll off that. I just have this a little cup of yogurt, my cappuccino yogurt cup, pretty much every morning. I go through a ton of those every day. That's how I grab a glass of water and my yogurt cup. That's normally how I start my day.
Those little treats are important.
It's you just love them. The coffee too. I mean,
yeah. Superstition on race day.
I low key, I think I've kept a lot quiet because I like to keep them personal. I probably have a few. I say things to myself before the race. There's certain things I'll say over and over, but it's like sometimes it's it's like a superstitious. I have to say it
like a fucking chant to yourself.
Like I got to say it three times over.
Well, yeah, I had a bunch too. For a while I had my lucky like compression tights I wore and like socks.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was the Oakley socks.
Yeah, dude, I still have them. Savannah was wearing them one day and I was like, you don't even know the socks that you're wearing right now.
You don't even know what they got me through.
You don't know like the critical, you know, the critical piece of the puzzle, what you're wearing on your feet. Yeah.
if only you knew, Sav. If only.
If only you knew.
Yeah.
Last one. Worst person to travel with.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna go my old coach PH. I love the guy, like a father to me. But he was he would drive me up the fucking wall sometimes when we were traveling.
Really?
I'm very type A. I got my shit dialed in order all the time. And he just could not be more opposite. He just could not be more like chill, like Southern France dude who's just like very type B. So yeah. If you're saying, if we're like, okay, we're gonna leave the hotel at 9 to go to the track. So at 9, he like hops in the shower to start getting ready. He like shower, brush his teeth, then go down and grab a breakfast and coffee and then like have a cigarette. And then it's like 9:37 and I'm just chomping at the bit in the lobby, ready to go.
That's, you just can't do that. You're just,
no, we can't, yourself. We can't have it.
No,
we
can't have it. No. Yeah. Man, I don't know what I have for this one. This is a toughie because I'll be honest, I'm pretty picky in the past year, 2 years at least, of who I travel mm-hmm. with. And I really enjoy the people I travel with. Obviously there's little things here and there. Mm-hmm. At the time, I love traveling with you. I still do. At the time, your music in the shower used to grind my gears.
Why did it grind your gears?
I don't know, because now I do it myself and I love it. I absolutely love it. You put a little country music on in the shower. It's just like the vibes are going. You're just enjoying it.
Maybe I should have said that for the random like thing I do every day. But so every time I shower, I put on music. Every time.
Every time, hey? What's your go-to?
Every single time.
Country?
Lately, it's been Morgan Wallen, yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. He's, I mean, staple.
Classic. An absolute fucking stud. Yeah.
I love traveling with this guy too. I love being around him. We can say the same thing. Misha, island pace.
Yeah. Yeah. Slow pace.
Every sure. now and again, he gets his classic casual. He's so casual, not nonchalant about time that I get nervous. I'm like, we're going to be late.
I feel like if you spend enough travel time with anyone, they just like, after a while, you'll just be like, you have to eat your oatmeal that fucking loud.
Everybody has something.
Can you please not fucking slurp your coffee? You just want to kill them after a while. Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. But it's funny that all those people still have great things. So.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like we went pretty long. Are we good for quick? Want to do quick shots or no?
I don't even have the quick shots. So,
all right, we'll take a week off from quick shot. Show 198. We covered a lot of shit today. Thanks to Sylvan Andre for coming on the show. Love to have you on, pal. It's good to have him on. One of our guys.
Awesome addition. Nice to chat with him. Great little discussions about different things in the sport. That was phenomenal. He has a great gate, dude. He has a great gate.
He really does. ProGate Europe. So good luck, Sylvan, this weekend. ProGate Europe presenting sponsor of the show. We're coming up on show 200 and we wouldn't have been able to do it with all you loyal listeners and sponsors. So thanks to everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Listen, enjoy Tulsa, race hard, and don't forget to snap on green.
See you guys in Chilliwack. Snap on green.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.